this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I'm your host, Jody Sweeten.
I am your other host, Celia Behar.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hey, guys.
What's up?
It's us. We're here. Nothing.
Yeah.
We're just, this is the couple minutes where we pretend that we didn't just do a whole other episode and that we have new things to talk about.
But we do, because we have a guest.
Yes, we do. We have a very wonderful special guest with us today. We have Deanna Maria Riva, who is here. You probably will know our guest from a variety of TV and film roles, including West Wing, Studio 60, On the Sunset Strip, Sunnyside, Man with a Plan, Kajillionaire, McFarlane, USA, and The Morning Show. And most recently...
I know.
Most recently, she received an Imagine Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress in a Television Comedy Series for her role as Detective Anna Perez on the hit Netflix show Dead to Me, which is about to start filming season 3. And you and I both know,
we're such fans of
Dead to Me, and that everyone on that show was so amazing. So without any further ado, welcome to this crazy wild ride of a podcast.
Yay, thank you. Thrilled to be here. Thrilled.
You say thank that you. Now.
You have no idea.
No, I've been listening and we have a lot in common, so I'm happy to be here.
Oh,
yay.
Great.
I'm so happy. I have like 500 fucking drinks.
I know. Sorry. There's so much liquid.
I know.
So much.
No.
I mean, stay hydrated.
Well. You know.
Do your thing.
I have a lot of hot flashes. I have to replenish.
This is just...
it's an ongoing thing. When you get there, you'll understand. Just saying.
Is this one of your hormonal outbursts?
No,
is this
going to be a new thing?
If it is, it's awfully innocent, and I'm very proud of you.
Thanks.
Mine's right? Kind of a little bit different.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait, so we have a moment to talk about the fact that we hadn't watched Dead to Me at first. Your mom, Janice, wrote us both and was like, I feel like you and Jody, or you guys, she's like, you guys need to watch Dead to Me because you're basically, that's your friendship. Which I don't even know what to say about that, because I'm like, well, which one of us murdered somebody first and covered it up?
I mean it could be either one.
Yeah.
It could really didn't. It, yeah. Pick one.
It's kind of funny that your mom was like, oh.
It was like, this totally reminds me of you guys. Like, right. like you'd kill somebody and then try and cover it up. Yeah.
Right.
And we were like, cool.
And we both kind of were like, yeah.
No,
that makes sense.
Oh my God. But it was just, it was so brilliant. And I love that show. And I know
you're
that
so good in it.
Shortly, you are going to be going to Puerto Rico to film the new HBO Max series, The Gordita Chronicles.
Oh, yes.
And you're also a single mom to two kids. So, like, all of those things. You're killing it.
You are our people.
Right? Which is like, let's take on all of the things and do all of the things and probably have minor little meltdowns in between, maybe.
Minor, that's nice.
But
I don't. I never have meltdowns. No. I don't know what she's talking about.
You never have minor meltdowns. You have very large ones. Very large ones.
I have bonbon epic meltdowns.
No, you have phone calls where you call me and you're like crying. And I'm like,
I called her once. We FaceTimed. I called her. I was crying. So she was like, I don't even know if you're speaking English. Like, what's happening?
I didn't know what. You weren't even speaking words.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, God.
You're like, what
I'm
is
so
it?
Sorry.
I don't
yeah.
even remember what it's about now. See?
Isn't that always the way, though? The thing that you freaked out about, you're like, why did I even care? Why did I even worry? And then something else comes along and you're like, now this is the thing. And then eventually you get over that too.
To be fair, even the important things I forget. So it doesn't matter.
if only we just forget it all, right? Yeah. Someday.
Sure.
Well, Deanna, now I want to make sure I'm saying it pronouncing. Deanna?
Deanna.
Deanna. Yes, okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. I hate mispronouncing people's names or misspelling or doing any of that.
No problem.
When people call you Cecilia, I'm
I know.
First of all, it makes me want to sing.
Well,
sure. Right.
It's not a flattering song, by the way. Can we just get that out of the way? Because people.
Well, luckily, it's not about you, technically.
No, but, it actually starts with Celia, and then it goes into Cecilia. The first verse is Celia, you're breaking my heart.
Yeah.
And the second verse is Oh, Cecilia. And any guy I've ever dated has, like, given me that song. And I'm like, you know what you should do? You should listen to the words of that song. Because basically, it's like, you're a whore, but I love you anyway. Like, I get up to bed to go, or get out of bed to wash my face. When I come back, someone's taken my place.
Okay, I see a little projection going on there.
Just
what if it's just that, it, you know, he feels that way because Cecilia did not end up with him? So he's bitter.
Oh, I like that much better.
So, you know, I can spin.
There you go.
Although, to be fair, most of the guys I've dated, you shouldn't spin for them. It'd be dangerous on many levels.
Well, before we get too far into the deep end of our pool, we wanted to know what is your never thought I'd say this moment, because as we all know, being a parent is hard and so unexpected. So we would love to hear what your never thought I'd say this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you go? What the hell am I doing? Yeah.
Why did I have to fucking say that?
Oh, God. We're going to start off here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So hope this is a... Okay. So I... a couple years ago, I never thought I'd look at my daughter and say, don't ever tell another school parent to eat a bag of dicks.
Oh, God! Hey! That's my favorite thing to tell people!
It really is. You said choke on a bag of dicks to somebody once. So yeah, that's...
I did.
You took it to the next level.
I took it to the next level.
Wow.
We started there. That's why I didn't know.
It's amazing. But we should probably ask, how old are your kids currently?
Yeah. Okay. No, and my daughter was not 7 when I said this. There is a little bit
I don't know if that makes it better or worse. Like when they're 7, you'd be like, oh, I don't know. They heard it somewhere. And then you're like 17, you're like, I mean, maybe you're kind of being a dick.
No, my daughter was a teenager. Well, my daughter, I have 2 kids. My daughter she's 17, and my son is just turned 20.
Okay.
Wow. yeah.
And you had them when you were 9?
Oh, like, right? I love you.
No, but I love you so much. I'm sorry, but you guys,
it was a medical miracle. Yes, it happened. Okay. Yes, my daughter was a teenager when this happened, although it happened some time ago. So if anybody listens to this and tries to figure out who, you don't know them.
Right.
Try to figure this shit out and come at me.
Right, right.
So she was in high school when this happened.
Uh-huh.
Basically, what people don't know, may not know about me is that, you know, and I'm sure you can agree. When it comes to my children, I am incredibly protective.
Yeah, right.
You can cross my boundary and I'll just walk away, whatever. But you mess with my kid.
With no
merit or justification for getting to the point that you did. It just comes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being
absolutely
a single parent, even more so.
Right.
I was a single parent for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I'll mess with my kid. You don't.
Exactly. They know when to take me seriously, which is very rarely.
Right.
But it was a situation where a parent that I had known for a long while, because our children were friends, I thought, you know, we had always had some kind of a friendship there between the two of us. I knew she was very volatile for whatever reasons in life. So I decided, I'm just going to keep my little distance. Right. We're just, you know, we'll be cool. Friends. It's all good.
Right.
No judgment.
I don't want to be on your side.
It's all good. So she always saw a side of me that was very just kind and not, you know, confrontational. When our daughters had a fallout, and it was extreme, and it was kind of sad and heartbreaking, and the mother called me that night, I saw when her phone name popped up, I'm like, oh, she's calling me. Okay, so we're going to sit down and try to figure out what brought out the worst in our daughters.
Right.
I'm not saying my daughter wasn't at fault, whatever, but what was it? So I was expecting complete solution, resolution, communicate.
Right, yeah, we had that. We're like, oh, shit, we got to talk about
something. We got to talk.
Right. Uh-huh.
I literally answered the phone to keep your fucking daughter away from mine.
Oh.
And I was like, here we go. Right? Okay. And I listened to her for a minute, tear my daughter apart without hearing anything about what her daughter contributed to this matter. And when she hit below the belt about my daughter, I went off.
And then
she was not expecting that. And the problem with not expecting that is that I got, you know, my hoop earrings came out.
Right.
And
I was like, now here we go.
Yes. Right. And I told her, you know, I never tore her daughter apart. She's somebody's child. Even if I don't love her, she's somebody's child. And I just said, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And I guess she was so taken aback by my reaction, thinking that I was always a non-confrontational person, which I am, that she said, well, I just wish you the best in your life. And I said, go eat a bag of dicks. You know, because I just like, how are you going to come at me now?
I love you even more.
I answered the phone and you came at me guns hot. And now you want to, try to be.
I would say you came at me sideways. That's it.
Hung up the phone, looked at my daughter, and said, "Don't ever tell a parent to do that. That was not the way to handle that." As I walk away, you did not hear that. She goes, "Mom, eat a bite." I said, "Stop. Right. Don't say it.
Don't say it. Right.
And wow. So, not my proudest moment. Never thought I'd say it, but I do think my daughter could see that. In the end, I'm human, and you come. The only time anyone has ever seen that side of me is when you have gone after my kid,
right?
And you have no right to,
right?
You know, my kid has done wrong. Talk to me about it.
Well, I think that's something that Celia and I have talked about a lot. Is sort of that where the line is, where the boundary is,
and bags of dicks.
Yes.
Aww, can that be the title? Boundaries and Bags of Dicks? Because I would be so fucking excited if that was the title.
Wait, what is it?
Boundaries and Bags of Dicks. Rachel's gonna be like, no. Can you never
We could just, spell it out with like a D and a little asterisk.
And an eggplant. Boundaries and bags of eggplants.
I know I get.
Sabrina just made like a. It was like, oh my God. What the hell was that at me? Like, right. She was like, yeah, okay, great.
You sure. There's a line.
Yeah.
There's a line. And if you come at my kids, that's it. We got a problem. And my kids know that too. And I've told my kids before too. I said, look. I will have your back. Like if somebody messes with you and you gotta hit them or stuff gets, and you've used all of your resources and told the teachers and done all the things, because it's happened before, where like the kids have used their words.
Yep.
They've told the teachers, and the little boy comes up and does something to him. I'm like, well, you gotta hit somebody. Sometimes you gotta do it. But
she's here's not the encouraging deal. Any kid
not encouraging
to
any kid
any
to
other
hit
kid.
Any other kid. I know everyone's looking at me like,
sorry, you're gonna
no,
get
I'm
an
just,
email.
What I'm saying is to hold a boundary. If you have used all of your things and someone comes up and puts their hands on you, then then that's what happens. But I've always told them, I said, but God help you if I find out that you're the one that started this. Because now we're going to have a problem. Because I will fight for you. I will avenge you. I will do all that. But if I find out that you were participating in this back and forth and you were doing it, and then that's too bad. Then you deserve what you got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've told my daughter many times in those situations, I've said, I will do everything I need to protect and defend you, but do not throw me under the bus.
Do not,
so I need to know.
Yep.
And I'm a words person. I'm like, don't exaggerate. Don't tell me exactly what was said, the phrase that was used back and how you responded.
Right.
Because when I go to that person, whether it be at school or a parent, I'm going to quote you.
Right. Yep. I need
don't
to know what I'm
like
getting into.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
I need to know what I'm getting into. And yes. My girls have always done that. And I also think, as parents, falls on us, our responsibility sometimes to be like, look, I'm going to walk into things. I know my kid's probably not innocent. I know my kid. Yeah, yeah. We all have a part in things, usually, unless it's just some completely outrageous bullying behavior, which does happen.
Sure.
But, sometimes it's both sides. Sometimes, especially when friendships fall apart, like what happened, who said what, how was the response.
Teen drama is a thing. I mean, obviously.
Texting, there's a loss of communications and the kids are
using tone and text.
Yes,
exactly. We say that a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, my kids even sometimes will like show me a text message and I'll be reading through it. I'm like, well, here's what I see. And like, you never take my side. I'm like, no, but I'm not going to.
Right.
Blindly agree with you that like this person's being an asshole out of nowhere when I'm reading this conversation and I see what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to be, I'm going to be objective in this. I'm not just going to blindly take your side if you said something that probably pissed somebody off or
Absolutely.
Got misconstrued. Like, I'm not saying it's all you, but I'm saying let's look at this so that when we go back to make this right, we can acknowledge.
Right. We want to teach our kids to take responsibility.
Accountability
is
everything.
You did too, but you said, I said it. Don't do what I said. I'm owning that, that you shouldn't have heard that. Can I ask A, did they ever make up? Or are they still not friends?
No. Luckily, they don't go to the same school.
Okay.
And they've parted ways. And that was good. It was necessary. It was that friendship had already run into problems in the past because the young girl had done this before to my daughter. Mm. So when she did it again, my daughter reacted out of such extreme hurt.
Right.
There was
right,
no
right.
violence, by the way. There was no hitting, whatever. So I think my reaction also came out of a place of hurt. It's like, why did you do that to my kid and to the mother? Why didn't you treat me like a friend in that moment?
I think it's super important for moms to be able to come to each other, even when your kids are in a fight.
Absolutely.
I think especially when your kids are in a fight, to be like, look,
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's try for us to be the relevant, or not relevant, the
mature.
The voice of reason. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Let us try and be like, okay,
yes.
these kids are totally not prepared to deal with right. this kind of stuff. And this is how we got to walk them through it and teach them.
Exactly.
And how do we talk about it and then like sit down with our kids and help them walk through it and either say they're not going to be friends anymore, but that doesn't mean that I don't like that other parent or that, you know, look, kids, right. friendships come and go.
Yeah.
It happens. It's super
and
important.
Kids really neat. I think it's an interesting point. Like the fact that she came at you like that is so weird to me in a way, because like, what is that teaching her daughter?
Yes.
Like that, but you then right. you are always on the defensive and I'm going to then fight your battle for you by attacking her mom. That doesn't even
yeah,
make right. sense to me. Like, because our kids do need to figure out how to communicate with each other, and they are going to have falling out, and you are going to figure yeah. out who benefits you in your life and figure out, no, we shouldn't stay friends anymore. However that happens. But like for a grown up
yeah.
to say that.
Yeah. Right.
That and that's, speaks I volumes try and, of where she's learning that behavior.
Right. Yeah. And I try and also stay out of.
Yeah, yeah. I yeah.
Yes. If she thought it was that bad of a situation, I would have even welcomed. We need to have our daughters sit in front of us and yes, we need to figure right. out what was said here and what wasn't said yeah. because mm-hmm. there was a discrepancy about what was actually said,
right.
blah, blah, blah. And so because I'm big on just let's communicate about
right,
this,
right, right.
let's talk about this. And I would have been much more willing to walk it through with my daughter communicating openly in front of the other mother and her daughter.
Right.
But that just wasn't even an option from right. the minute I said, hey, girl,
right.
which is how I answered the phone.
Right. right. You know?
Wow. Oh yeah, yeah.
And
no.
then she came out
hey,
like that.
Guns
yeah,
high.
So yeah. as far as you, because you guys deal with something I don't deal with, but you made a good point, Dani, like where it's, you know, people coming at your kids. Mm-hmm. So when you guys are, you know, you have celebrity lives and you have social media, do people, I mean, the only time Jody almost never goes at people, you know, gets personal with people on mm-hmm. her wall when they're attacking her for different things. I do. I've 100% told people to go suck a bag of dicks on her wall.
On my wall. Yeah. She's like, I'm really, she'll yeah, text me and text be like, you. I'm really sorry, but this one was just, I couldn't yeah, not say anything. I had, they came at you, they really mean, and I had to say something.
Yeah. I'm like, she's always like, I didn't even read it. Like, yeah. and I'm like, fuck that. I'll be, we've like fan. People like little fans that have written us and been like, I took a note out of your page, Celia, the way that you protect
right.
Jody.
And I'm
I
like,
just told
oh,
someone
great.
To suck a bag of dicks. And I'm like, shit, I think you're 14. Maybe don't.
Right.
Do that.
Don't do that. Yeah.
But the only time I've ever seen you go off, Jody, is when people come at your kids or Miss Gal, for that matter, her boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
usually
yeah.
when yeah. she's like, oh, really, bitch? And then yeah. she goes, like, I like to call her Street Jody, where she's like, just comes right. at him and
yeah.
I'm like, oh,
her hoop earrings
yeah,
come
her,
out.
Her, yeah, she
the earrings
down
are out.
She right. put her makeup on sitting down in front of something and like,
right, right.
That's always when you know someone
it's
will
right.
fight.
Right, right.
Does that happen on your, like, has that happened with you as, you know, I mean, you are in the public eye.
Right. How did you keep your kids' lives kind of as normal as yeah. possible with, you know, because
well,
you are
yeah,
working
it's
a ton.
Thank you. It's a good question because I'm sure you've seen this too. Like my kids are incredibly private. They're not in the entertainment business. They don't want to be in the entertainment business. So I never tag them.
Right.
I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, to the security clearance that I have to get to post a picture is
oh, yeah,
immense.
Oh, yes. Right, right,
and,
right.
And I'm okay with that. This
right.
is, you know, so I ask if I can put their pictures up and it's very, very rare. If you would look at my wall, you can see it's extremely rare. But nobody has ever come at my kids who didn't know me. But people who have come at me, honestly, there's something to be said about someone that you don't know. If you're walking down the street and someone walks past you and says, you're ugly. And you're like, the fuck is wrong with that guy?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
there's no, it just goes right over your head. You don't
right.
even care. He's like,
right.
clearly, that person's crazy, you know?
Right.
So if somebody comes at me and it's unsolicited, I haven't asked for it. I haven't provoked it. I haven't
right.
like said anything. Then I'm like, oh, clearly they're not well.
Right.
And
right.
so it doesn't, if it's throwing a lot of negative shit on my wall, I'll delete.
Right.
I'll delete and block because
right.
not because I take it personally, because I don't want that shit on my wall.
Right.
Like
right.
you can just go.
Right.
So I haven't had to, I've had a couple of things here and there, but nothing that I felt like made me lose sleep at night. And
right.
made me double question myself
right.
or doubt. And then, of course, I just don't bring up my children that much. It's just
yeah.
they want their privacy.
Yeah. So. I've definitely been like, now that my oldest is 13, I've like you said, the security clearance of like, can I post this
yeah.
picture? And it's usually like, I don't like my left eyebrow. I don't like this.
yes,
I
right.
look ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't, And I'm like, dude, that's your head though. Like that's, I mean, that's.
My oldest one's always like, you can't post that. And my hair looks like George Washington in that. No joke. She's like, I look like George Washington. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's got hair like mine. Yes. You know? And she's like, it's all poofy. It looks like, she's like, look, it looks like how George Washington wore it. I'm like,
yeah.
What the hell what are you talking? Yeah, that's what Harper says to me.
Says the girl who shaved her widow's peak.
Yeah, my oldest daughter shaved her widow's peak. Yeah.
And then a while ago.
And then as it grew out, it grew up because it was, you know, curly hair. So then she earned the nickname. I called her a cockajew. Because we're Jewish. I still sometimes point it out. I'm like, how's the cockajew? And she's like, you're not fun. You're not
right. Right. Yeah. No. Sorry. But we were like, what did you do, Harper? Yeah. Yeah.
It was bad.
Because we saw it coming. Yeah. We knew what was going to happen.
I knew exactly what was. I mean, you have curly hair like mine. You know if you cut it too short, when it grows back, it doesn't grow down.
No.
It grows up.
Out,
and then it goes out.
Every direction.
Yeah. Right. That's why, you know, you get like full on, for me, full on Israel, as I call it. And, you know, that's just like a whole.
No,
a whole
I definitely, thing. I've anyway. Been trying to get better though about, you know, getting the clearance and stuff. And I like, even now, if there's like something really ridiculous that happens, or we had a WTF, What the Fuck Sunday post for our Instagram, where we just post things around the house of like, why is it, share one with you that Mescal sent me the other day. But anyway, like there was a picture of B who had basically moved into the bathroom overnight, had decided to turn the bathtub into a bed with all of these blankets and pillows and things, and books and paintings, and there was snacks, and they're like, she moved. Like
snacks in the bathroom also.
Also gross, I know. But like she moved the fuck in, right? Yeah. Like she was like, hey, this is my new space.
And it's not like her girls share a room. Like she has her own room.
Right. But she just wanted to go in there because the door locked and her sister was bugging her. And she was like, this is the only place I can be where my sister can't come in.
Yeah.
Nor can she pee. Well. But anyway, so I took a picture of her. I was like, where is B? I went down to her room. She's not there. I'm like, what? I opened the bathroom door and she's asleep.
In the bathtub.
I'm knocking on the door and I don't hear anything. I'm like, oh my God. Of course, I'm panicking.
Yeah.
And Zoe's like, hey, she's asleep. So I pop the lock open and she's just taking a nap. So I took a picture, but of course I was like, okay. Now I know, like when they were littler, I would have been like, I'm just gonna post it.
Right.
Now I'm like, is it cool if I post the picture of you when you moved into the bathroom? And she's like, yeah,
that was ridiculous. She's so proud of that.
She was like, that was so ridiculous. You can totally post that.
Oh my God, wait. I also love that you came up with a whole reason why. Like you were like, well, I feel like maybe it's that, you know, she feels more contained and secure because like we both do things like that. Like I like to, you know,
I'll
sit in my closet when I'm like too overwhelmed. I'll sit in my closet. I turn off the lights.
Yeah, my anxiety, like, I will
calm down. You know,
park it in the bathroom.
And she asked her, she's like, is that, she went all therapist-y on her. She's like, is that why? Were you feeling like, you know, you just needed that like space? And B was all, no, I just liked it in there. It was comfy.
And I was like, okay,
it was
cool.
Way, like,
you're going to do great in college, kid.
Right, yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of moments of calm, one of the things that you talk a lot about on your social media you are a big proponent of is that you take your pause to meditate daily.
Mm-hmm.
And does that, I mean, I would imagine that helps with the work-life balance, with the kids, with everything. I know Celia and I talk about therapy and meditation and yoga and like, so what are some of the things for you? We always love to share people's, you know, moment of zen. What is it?
Clearly, I didn't have one before I told that woman to eat dicks, but I just like...
Look, actually, I think that was your moment of zen.
That was my moment of zen.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that felt great.
We were like, yeah, that's right.
That felt really good.
I had
good.
Some clarity. No, you're right. You know, being a single parent, I've been one for a long time. It's really easy to get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two good kids. I it's not even like it's been that big of a challenge, but it is a challenge. My whole family is across the country.
Right.
And it's all about keeping myself cared for, which when you wear all the hats, it's really easy to leave yourself as last. And I just discovered that I didn't understand how meditation worked, why it works, what is it about it that makes it work. But when I started just doing a guided meditation, I just picked an app and started following one. And then I started doing the repetitive mantra meditation. Mm-hmm. And when I do that 10 to 20 minutes a day, either the mantra or the guided, when I do that daily, as many days in a row as possible, something shifts. And all I can say is that I feel like I'm going through life protected. Mm-hmm. My anxieties, my fears, my spark of anger, whatever comes up is just just kind of automatically taken care of. And I just look at things from a I don't walk around. I still cuss. Fuck is that?
Right.
You know, whatever. But it doesn't get to me the way it would, or it doesn't, you know, just knock me off balance. And I feel that as much as what kids go through today, and my kids and I have been through a lot. And mm-hmm. and that's what something is like, I'll get protected and I'll defend them, because you don't know what we've been through.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's not on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or anything like that. Yeah. It's not there. So I will not let anything else come into my household and cause a life of chaos, no matter where or what you're from. So I just found that meditating, just 10, 20 minutes a day, I can't really do more than that. And just keeps me calm, and it makes me feel better.
I do a lot of the Oprah Deepak.
Me too. That's how I started. That was the guided meditation I did.
Okay. I that's a homework assignment I give to my clients a lot is to start doing those.
Yep.
Because I usually say, if you can't find 20 minutes of your day to sit down and be quiet and listen to meditation, then something's really wrong.
That's a litmus test really right there.
I'm going to need you to stop yelling at me. Okay. I really feel personally attacked.
I was looking at her.
You were right.
It is true.
Look, solitaire is very important on my phone. Okay. I have to play that game.
Yes.
Whatever
That is sort of my meditation. I go out in the hammock. I fell asleep in my hammock the other day. I was working this week and doing some night shoot stuff, which I can't tell you about, but. Anyway.
Did you fall out of your hammock this time?
I don't know what that was.
She did fall out of her hammock.
No, I didn't fall out of the hammock. I actually fell getting into the hammock. But no, I didn't. But I passed out in it for a good 3 hours and woke up when Mescal came and got me because it was getting dark outside.
Oh, my God.
That is, first of all,
that's perfect.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I just need to know. I hope you weren't devoured by mosquitoes.
I was indeed. I've got several. Yeah, they love me.
That's the other thing.
But that, like, my little hammock is my happy space. And I've posted several things out there.
Yeah,
like,
everybody does need that. And that also is what I think, you know, I love that you talk about that on social media, because some people would look at it like, oh, that's so hippy-dippy. But you don't make it that way.
Oh,
you're like, this is the way of life. And it is possible to take things, you know, that are considered hippy-dippy, but also been proven over and over and over again to be good for you, and combine them into your actual life and your
practice. Listen, I asked my daughter if I could talk about this, and I'm very proud of her, because she said, please do if it comes up. And she suffered from almost debilitating anxiety and depression. And I was trying, you know, before, you know, we went down the route of medication and whatever, what I learned in the past was that we need to have other things in place. We need to have you helping your body, and then a therapist to help you work through the stuff you don't understand.
Right.
And then the next element would be medication. And anxiety, and I don't know anxiety the way she does because I barrel through. It's my greatest asset and defect. I will be there for you. I'll throw down for you. I'll take care of you. I'll have your back. And then sometimes I don't notice how much extra burden I'm carrying because I'm used to bulldozing through.
Right.
I had to teach my child, who has a bit of me in her, that this is too much for you to carry.
Right.
You need to find something that keeps you quiet or quiets down the mind. And that's only because I didn't understand how to help her anxiety. And me, I was just like, barrel through.
Right.
So I got into it kind of because I wanted to push it onto her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? This shit actually works. Yeah. Maybe I ought to keep it for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I meditate with my younger daughter. I used to do it with both of them at night, but now, you know, my older one's like 13 and she's like, I don't need you hanging out in here with me. you know, and I get that, but she listens to it on her phone. She likes the ASMR stuff. So she listens to that sometimes when she's trying to go to bed, if she sleeps. Because they're teenagers and they want to stay up all fucking night. I don't understand.
We call Harper a grandma because she's like, it's 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. I need to go to bed.
But with my younger one would be like, even now sometimes I'll be like every, you know, on the days that she's here, I know I'm always going to, I get my meditation in there because you know, sometimes now she's getting a little older. She's like, I'm good, mom. But it's kind of, it's our little way to connect. And we have the same one that we listen to every night. It's this beautiful, like, Hindu chant.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really calms me down. It calms her down. And, you know, I think that is so important, you know, because with all the stuff that kids have to do and that we have to do, I mean, you have been working so much. Speaking of work, I want to talk a little bit about it. You're getting ready to film the final season of Dead to Me.
Yes.
which, oh my God, that cliffhanger.
Why is it the final season? Oh my God. I don't want it to be the final season.
Well, I don't think everybody can continuously get away with murder. Yeah. And, you know, it's like everyone's getting off the hook. I mean, I'm in deep shit. Christina, yeah, Linda, everybody's in deep shit.
Yeah.
And I think from what I understand too, Liz Feldman, the creator of the show, had never planned for it to be a 5-6 year run.
Right.
She saw the story wrapping up in 3, maybe 4 seasons.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think that's just where everyone has come to an agreement that's where
I actually like that.
Yeah. I do too. Well, and I think too, for it depends on what sort of a show you're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like sitcoms, you can just kind of keep going because it doesn't necessarily, you know, you can keep just coming up with funny scenarios, but like shows like this where it's like, okay, something happened. We've eventually something has to happen to resolve it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? We can't just keep killing people. And, you know, I mean, you could, but then it becomes a whole different show. Yeah. Then it's Game of Thrones.
Right.
Right.
Well, will we be seeing a lot more of Detective Ana Perez?
Because... Oh yeah. She can't just walk away. She's in it now. Remember how season 2 ended, like she has a lot to answer for now because she's in the mix. And so I think audiences will like it. I think they'll like, you know, it's never predictable too with this show. But
definitely
what was
not.
So great about it too is that, again, Liz Feldman and has just come up with these brilliant storylines that she didn't map out completely from the beginning. She had told me and this was such a compliment. And at the end, at the beginning of season 2, when I was finding out the direction in which Perez was going, she said, you know, I always thought you were just going to be a detective until I met you.
It was
wonderful to hear how she was inspired and a story started to unfold in her head. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. That was like, you love
I always say it was like one of the biggest compliments you can get as an actor is like what you're doing with this character makes me want to see more of it.
And by the way, where she went with them, like, I didn't see that, but okay.
Right.
Like, let's go.
Well, the fact that you're so non-stereotypical Latinx, LGBTQ, you know, it's such a cool, inclusive character.
Very.
I mean, did you know starting out that that's what it was going to be?
Not at all. No. I was going to go and try to arrest the girls and be done with it. And that was it. So the story that's unfolded has been, as an actor, an amazing journey at diving into this skin that I am unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm.
There are many things about Perez that I've never experienced in my life. But this is why I got into acting.
Right.
I love just blending into lives that I haven't lived.
Right.
Souls that I want to bring life to that I don't know anything about.
Right.
I don't want to just play a Latina that was raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, with a Dominican mother with big curly hair. I want to play everything that I never thought, you know, I could ever be or experience. And this has been one of those experiences, and it's been so neat. It's been really neat.
Well, it's been, I mean, God, watching you take this character and really fly with it. And it's just become such a wonderfully complicated, layered, deep show. Like, oh my God. Wait, the end of season 2, we called each other, like, oh my God, did you see it?
We're so
super,
good.
Super, super in it.
And you touched on Christina and Linda, who are fantastic. And I know we talked about it before the show. I just want to, we are sending our love to Christina.
Yes.
Just, you know,
she's a trooper. She's good people.
She's
a good soul.
I've idolized her for years. Honestly, I've watched her from the start of her career. I think she's just, you know, so brave and strong. And from a person who grew up with a mom who, you know, fought and beat breast cancer, and, you know, and I actually lost my sister to cancer. Like, she's been so outspoken and such an advocate for women's health. I just thought it was so amazing, and what she did when she came out and talked about it, and everything that she went through was not something that women were talking about when she did it.
Yeah.
No, she did, and she did it with her resilience and her grace and her sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's a mother. She works hard, and she's battling health issues, and it's she shows up to work diligent, ready to be there. Happy, making jokes and works really hard and delivers a very challenging character.
Yes.
Demanding
character. Absolutely.
All of you are so good.
Oh my God. So great.
It's such a great, it's just a great like ensemble. I love an ensemble that really just like, you can tell that you all get along and it just works so well and you all play off of each other's talents. It's just It's just amazing.
Now, you also are going to Puerto Rico soon to start shooting the Gordita Chronicles.
Yes, yes. New show with HBO Max that I'm very excited about. It's based on the creator, Claudia Forestieri, who is Dominican. And her father's Italian, her mother's Italian Dominican, and her mother's Dominican. This is based on her story, where the father is. I play the wife of an ad exec for a marketing exec for like an American Airlines. He gets a transfer, a promotion to come to the States and work in the corporate offices in Miami in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a little bit of a Wonder Years flavor, where it's told from it's narrated by the older Cucu. Cucu is the little daughter, Gordita, mm-hmm. which in the Dominican Republic means little chubby. Mm-hmm. And it's not an insult. We call her Gordita. That's her little nickname. Mm-hmm. But when she comes here to the United States, she realizes is like it's not a compliment and everyone judges her for it and she spins it. She's right. Like, I don't know what their problem is, but I'm fine, you know. But we all come to Miami thinking it's going to be great. This is amazing. We're moving to the United States, you know, blah blah blah. And then we have a bunch of unforeseen challenges. It's an immigrant story. It's not the one that we've been seeing as of late on the news, but it is a true one and a real mm-hmm. one. Mm-hmm. And it's a good one to just follow. And it's delightful and it's beautiful. You know, the things like my husband's name is Victor, and everybody at work calls him Vic, and he wants to just let the guys feel comfortable calling him Vic, but his name is Victor and he wants to be called. Little things like that. And taxes. What taxes? Really? My God, they take half your paycheck. Whatever. Just things like that. But it also takes place in the 80s. So we got a lot of hair, a lot of shoulder pads.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Right. And you got Eva Longoria, right? And
she is directing. Yes, she is directing a few episodes, which has been grand. It's
and
been
you beautiful. Got you guys have worked together before.
Yeah. We did telenovela in 2015.
Okay.
So we've remained very, very close since then. She's wonderful. And she really knows how to deliver. And she's one of those strong powerhouse female directors that is blazing a trail for the rest of us.
Yeah.
She's just smart.
Also Absolutely. Very outspoken about women's issues.
And yeah. Yes. I have huge admiration for her. Yeah. I definitely look up to her as a director, as a woman in the entertainment business.
Yes.
I think she is killing it.
She's just doing things.
Such a great job. I mean, I'm just so happy that you came and joined us today.
Oh my God.
This has been so much fun.
So delightful.
Like you are definitely our people. Just simply from here. Never thought I'd say this alone. Like, go eat a bag of dicks. I'm like, and you're in.
You're in. I was like, maybe I have a plan B. I don't know if
no,
I
then no,
I was,
no, no, no.
The more I listen, I was like, no. I think they'll get me.
We're all in. We'll tell anyone to suck a bag of dicks. It's totally fine.
You're not wrong in that. You're not wrong. We will and we have.
Right. It's possible, but only possible. I've told one of my children to do that. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
We make no claims to be the best parents, but we're just really fucking trying.
Yeah. That's right. Like so fucking hard.
So trying. Well, I would love to have fun and play a game with this, which, you know, we occasionally do. We say we're going to do every week, but then our consistency sucks. Sort of like our parenting.
That is correct.
Right. That is. Yeah, exactly. But this is just a fun, easy game. It's just questions about things.
Okay.
Nothing.
I don't know what this is, by the way. This is the first time I've even hearing about
this. It's literally been.
She came up with this.
I didn't come up with it. No. I just thought it'd be a fun way to get to know each other.
All right.
At the end of our little thing. Okay. So we can each pick a card and pick a question. Okay. And then, or we could pick the same question. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, let's do that. That way we all know the same thing about each other. Okay. Eric, you know what? I'm an asshole. Let the guest pick.
Yeah, you are an asshole.
Jeez, wow.
Jesus.
I'm knocking mics over now.
You going to read it?
Okay, here we go. There we go.
What are your simple pleasures? We have pleasures, what?
Simple ones?
I went right to something dirty.
That's why I said, we have pleasures, what? Yeah.
That's not simple, though. That's
well, depends on my mood.
By the way, here's your title. Simple pleasures.
Simple pleasures.
And a bag of dicks. I still want to add bag of, come on.
Okay.
Can we?
All right. So what, okay. What are your
my simple pleasures?
Yeah,
sitting outside by my fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my little zen room outdoors, my little living room outdoors. That's my simple pleasure. I love.
Perfect.
Aww, I like that. I talk about mine all the time. It's so lame. I like to crochet and watch CSI or some like murder show. I don't know why.
First of all, that's not the one you talk about all the time. I thought you were going to say yoga.
No, that's
but
not
crocheting
that's
and CSI. I feel like that's not an
that is a mentioned. Listen, there's it's not underrated. You saw that Olympian? I don't know what country it was from.
Yes,
the swimmer that
yes.
was crocheting. Like clearly, there's something.
Little, he started crocheting during the pandemic, and then he just was like, "This is amazing. I love it."
I made both my kids' baby blankets, crocheted them, and I stopped doing it, and then our friend Sunny got us back into it, me back into it. It's nice that, and I would say just hanging out with my cat quietly. George Michael, my cat, who's like the softest thing. I just like to put my head on him and listen to him purr. That's my simple pleasure.
Those all count.
I would say my simple pleasure is my hammock time.
Yeah.
Out in the backyard.
Not to be confused with hammer time.
or maybe it is. Maybe it is to be confused with hammer time. Maybe I do the little dance before I get into the hammock and then I lay down.
Yeah.
Because I've exhausted myself.
Oh my God. If she, that's her next, that's a TikTok for you right there. I vote for you to do a freaking, a fucking hammer time video into your hammock.
Okay. I'm going to need you to calm down and let me reveal my simple pleasure. laying in my hammock, lounging, enjoying the backyard, minus the mosquitoes. Hanging out with my dog, my big, floofy, wonderful dog who doesn't so like cute. Anybody else, but she loves me.
She's very sweet.
And just like chilling on my couch, playing solitaire and watching like a real fucked up murder documentary.
Yes. True
crime, all of it. I'm like, ooh. And then, he plucked her eyes out and you're like, ooh, you know, right. Just real dark shit.
Yep.
Why is it that so many women, like moms.
They've talked about it because it somehow, I think women find it, we were talking about this in our previous episode, hearing the worst thing that can happen somehow makes you feel more in control and okay about the world. Like it feels like and so I think they've talked about like that's why particularly a lot of women like listening to true crime where something really awful happens because it's like, okay,
I'm prepared.
I know that I know what the worst thing that could be. Like I'm not like, and you know, it probably doesn't help that those things often happen to women.
Also, shout out to my favorite murder.
Yes.
Because
Georgia,
I will
Karen,
say
hi.
Georgia and Karen, and if you don't listen to that podcast,
I do.
They're amazing. But they actually had, you know, they have what they call murderinos that everyone listens to the podcast. And one murderino actually saved another one that was without realizing that they were actually part of that, you know, community that listens to My Favorite Murder. One was coming out of a restaurant and the other one had just seen a guy go and hide behind a car. And she went up to the girl and gave her a big hug. And she's like, oh my God, it's so great to see you. And whispers in her ear, there is a man next to your car door. Do act like you know me.
Oh my God.
And she was like, oh yeah. And they like talked. And because then they both started walking over, the guy took off.
Oh my God.
And then they found out that they both listened to My Favorite Murder. And they were like, the woman who saw the guy said, I never would have been looking for it had I not been listening to My Favorite Murder and heard so many of these stories.
I need to start listening to this.
My Favorite Murder is amazing. They're kind of like they're dark, they're fucked up, they have a terrible sense of humor. So they make these really horrible stories really funny.
They created this community where it is stuff like that happened. And that story always stuck with me because, you know, it's like some of it, you know, you do feel really morbid listening to it, but there's a purpose, you know?
You know what the purpose is? Simple pleasures.
Yes.
Simple pleasures.
Staying sexy and not getting murdered, which is the tagline.
Exactly.
Of podcast,
So far we've stayed sexy and we're still here. So
Good
on us.
Nailing it.
Yes, that's us.
I don't feel sexy these days. I feel hot. And
not in like the hot girl kind of way.
I'm actually sweating between my boobs kind of way. That's how I feel.
You can't sweat between your boobs.
I can't.
I don't have
enough boobs to do that. It's a true story.
Right. You're just your chest is sweating.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, she touched me.
Deanna, if people want to find you on Instagram, on the internet, where can they find you?
The whole name, Deanna Maria Riva.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on Twitter the same.
Okay. Perfect. That's it. Well, if you want to find us on Instagram, you can find us at Never Thought I'd Say This. Also on Facebook, mm-hmm. it's Never Thought I'd Say This. Twitter is Never Thought I'd. You can email us, neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. You can find me at Jody Sweeten.
She looks
on
at me like I would know. Sorry.
I'm just trying to interact with you. You can find me at Jody Sweeten on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. And where can people find you, Celia?
The Celia Bihar at, what am I, Instagram and Twitter, which yep. I don't know how to use, and Facebook. Yeah. You can't and, find me because I won't accept your final.
And also make sure that you check out our Never Thought I'd Say This YouTube channel. Go subscribe and like that. We just started that a few weeks ago, and it's proving to be quite fun and quite ridiculous, of course.
And if you have not watched Dead to Me, for the love of God, watch Dead to Me.
It's brilliant. It's such so a great good. Show.
And I feel badly that we didn't touch on some of the other your other work, because like I'm huge West Wing and I loved Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, even though it didn't make it. And I don't understand why. I never will. You got to work with Aaron Sorkin twice. What the fuck? Yeah. that's all I got to say. I mean, you've done so much amazing work. And I'm half Hispanic. And I just want to say you were one of the first Latinx actresses that was breaking stereotypes. Like, you're one of those people where girls out there see themselves on TV, and that wasn't something growing up that I ever got to see.
Yes, thank
you. And so it's really an amazing thing, and I hope you realize what a role model you are.
Oh, goodness.
And I hope your kids also know that your mom's a role model. Doesn't matter if she told people to suck a bag of dicks.
All she cared about is that I was coming to meet Jody Sweeten, and she has not given two shits. I mean, she cares about my career. They both care. Right. They don't give that many shits about it, though. So the only time that I saw my daughter get excited about anything in my work was a few years ago when I got a call asking if I was available to come in and play a part on Fuller House. And I was not available.
Oh my gosh, and I knew you were probably going to play Fernando's mom, and that would have been brilliant.
Don't remember, something like that. Oh, and my daughter at the time was like 12. She was furious with me. Clear your schedule. I can't. I literally have to go and do this other job. And then today, here she is. She's 17 years old. She says, where are you going? I'm like, I'm doing a podcast. She goes, with who? She goes, well, on Full House, there's the middle girl. She's like, Jody, you're meeting Jody? And she's like, she didn't. I was I forgot that she was such a fan, you know. And that's what she's excited
about. Oh, well, tell her I said hello. And then her mom
she babysit. She's got to.
I wouldn't do that to her.
She needs
No, I think you're amazing and wonderful. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
To all of our listeners out there, remember, you guys, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Or the other parents.
Or back to dicks.
'Never Thought I'd Say This' with Jody Sweeten and Celia Bihar is an Audio Boom original.